looks like a bat. I dig it.
Maybe temporary.
Okay, I'm done. That's everything I've got to show you.
Cool. Alright, let's talk about that then.
Which one?
Let's just talk about both of them now. So, to tell you, what one did you prefer, do you think?
Justice League.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. No, no.
Oh, come on. Don't be like this. So, I prefer Marvel movies to DC movies overall, because DC's currently provided rubbish. But remember when the Batman vs. Superman trailer came out?
Mm-hmm.
And or the second one, however, and it basically just did the entire story in a trailer. So it was like, oh, there's Batman and then there's Superman. Oh, by the way, Wonder Woman's in it, and so is Doomsday. So is Doomsday, and then everyone kind of saw it and went, oh, it's not gonna be much of a twist. And then you got in there, and there wasn't much of a twist. So I feel that's basically what the Spider-Man trailer was. Should we tell people that we just watched the Spider-Man and the Justice League trailer?
We've just watched the Spider-Man and the Justice League.
Yeah, we should probably do that.
Yeah. No. So you thought the Spider-Man one was sort of equivalent of just spoiling the whole
It looks movie. Like it is the movie. To the point where even in the first trailer, you see him trying to stop that big fairy from ripping apart. And you think, oh, that looks like a big problem. But then you kind of get the idea that he's just like stringing it up and he's putting it all together. Like he does.
And you know it's going to work.
Well, you kind of think, that'll do it. But then like in this trailer, you basically see Iron Man coming in and just fixing it.
Yeah, okay, cool.
So you kind of
know how it's going to be fixed
so
anyway,
When that scene comes up in the movie, when I go to see it, because I will see it, it's kind of like, right, well, I know how this is going to end.
Sure.
Iron Man's going to come and save it. I don't care what Spider-Man does in this scene.
And I think, you know, at that what point of the movie it is, because that's the bit, you know how in the movies you've got the huge climax, but before that, the sort of hero gets, like, put down to, like, bottom.
He's lost his suit, Ewan. He's nothing without his suit.
It's just, I don't know. I find the Spider-Man trailer a lot more enjoyable to watch, primarily because Marvel have put out consistently good movies.
Yes.
Well, the ones that I've seen anyway.
Yes.
Have been consistently good.
All two of them.
The trailer did reveal quite a lot of the plot, but I think it was enjoyable to watch anyway. Like, even though it did reveal quite a lot of the plot, it was still, like, nice to look at. Like, it's still, like, a good-looking film. And you do get a good idea of what Spider-Man as a character is going to be like. He's not Tobey Maguire or Andrew Garfield.
You're correct, he is not either of those actors.
No.
Well done.
No, but he's like the sort of Spider-Man, obviously it's like a younger Spider-Man, it's a teen Spider-Man. So I'm thinking,
how dare you, Tobey Maguire.
Do you remember?
Was totally pulling off the teenage look in the first movie.
Oh god, yeah. Or in the third movie.
When he was like in his 30s or whatever.
Oh, do you remember in the third movie when he's like walking down the street and he's like,
mate, he looks so cool then. That's the best part of that movie.
Yeah, it's the best part of that movie because it's the rest of the movie's boring as hell. And
it's
then
awful.
And then that bit is seriously hilarious. But yeah, so this Spider-Man, obviously, I think, did you ever watch the Spider-Man TV show? They played in like
animated, do you mean?
Yeah, the animated show, yeah.
There wasn't
a live action one.
No, I don't think so.
No. That sort of, I think it's going back to that sort of Spider-Man where it's like, I think he uses web shooters in the movie, does he not? I don't think he uses.
I think he makes them.
Yeah, I don't know. There's
web. I think he's organic.
I think he uses web shooters in the movie, like he did in the TV show.
I can't remember. Civil War? I can't remember.
I don't know. I didn't watch Civil War.
It was good,
as you know. Justice League, I have a big problem with DC now.
Another one. Another problem.
Well, where they're now trying to be like, oh, right, okay, so Man of Steel and Batman vs. Superman were considered too serious. So now, with these Avenger-type movies, such as Suicide Squad and now Justice League, we've got to try and be a bit more lighthearted, you know, because we need to appeal to those people who like the Marvel movies. But it's like, people don't like the Marvel movies because they're lighthearted. They like the Marvel movies because they're well-made movies with, like, good direction and good writing and good acting, you know? Whereas, like, they're trying to figure out a tone for the movie, but they're not figuring out how to make that tone work. They're just sort of like, oh, we'll just make it lighthearted. But it's like, you know, you have to actually make it good at the same time. The trailer kind of harkens to that because it's really moody looking film. It doesn't have a lot of color to it, but at the same time you still got these like scenes where it's like there's humor in it, but it doesn't really work because it looks really serious and then these things come out and it's like really stark and I'm just like it doesn't work.
I don't know, I'm still I don't understand my reasoning behind this. I will go and see everything that DC will make despite the fact I've not enjoyed anything that DC has made. Yeah. I will pay money. I'll pay good money.
Yeah, I've seen more of DC than I have Marvel, and I like Marvel more. Well, I used to like DC a lot more than Marvel films, but now Marvel have just they've just set a bar, and they just kept hitting that bar every time, whereas DC had that with Christopher Nolan trilogy, and then it slowly declined with Man of Steel.
That was awful, yeah.
And then it just got consistently bad.
I still think it'll be good. Purely because it will be Avengers again.
It'll be Avengers again. I just think it won't be as good as the Avengers.
Did you see Avengers?
I did see Avengers.
You know the bit when...
The first one, not the Age of Ultron.
Which is arguably the best Marvel movie, I think.
Age of Ultron?
No.
Oh, the first one. The first Avengers. Okay.
You know that bit in the big fight scene in New York where the Hulk jumps up?
Yeah.
And he punches a flying thing?
It slides back. Yeah.
Yeah, like how Aquaman... jumps up and punches the flying thing.
Yeah. It's just...
Movie. It's going to be the same movie.
They're trying so hard to be the Avengers.
I bet the plot will be the same as well. There'll be a cube-shaped item that controls the universe.
It was a cube-shaped
item. I think there's three. I think there's going to be one in this one, but yeah. And it'll make a portal to another dimension, and then aliens will come out of that. And then the group of superheroes will have to fight them.
A city will be destroyed.
And
people will die.
It'll be Metropolis again for like the third time. They'll rebuild it and it'll be destroyed. You think Superman's going to be in it for a lot of the movie? He's going to be in it.
Well, he's going to be in it because
he's in like posters and stuff for it.
Yeah.
He will be in it, but I don't know for how long. I suspect it's going to be like, the heroes are still losing. All hope is lost. Oh, wait, who's that? Oh, Superman, never mind. We won. That'll be it. And he'll be wearing his black suit because he's dead.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously.
Well, of course. I didn't enjoy the trailer as much as you did, maybe, because of the way I feel about DC films at the moment. And the trailer kind of did the same thing that Suicide Squad did, where it creates this sort of hype because they're like, oh man, it's so different from all these films that you hated in the past. But it's like, well, I hated Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't hate it. I didn't enjoy it.
Yeah.
I will probably watch it, but I'm more excited for Homecoming than I am for Justice League.
Well, one of my problems with Justice League is, you know the scene in that trailer where Bruce Wayne's like, oh, you're Barry Allen, you're the Flash, and Barry's like, I don't know what you're talking about, and then he just hurls a batarang at him, and then he obviously goes to Flash, he catches it. How many Barry Allens do you think he's been to before that one, where he's like, you're the Flash, he's like, I don't know what you're talking about, he just hurls a batarang at him, it just hits him square in the face. I hope there's a deleted scene where he's just going door to door to small teenage boys, just batarang them all in the face.
Do you think it's like a it's like a montage?
Yeah. With his big yellow pages just scoring Barry Allen's out of it.
To be honest, that would be great.
That'd be amazing.
I'd be like, that's so left field. Like, it's not even Avengers funny. It's just genuinely funny.
Because this Batman kills people anyway, so he's done it before.
It would be. At that point, I'd be like, right, okay, this movie's just gone completely off the fucking rails, but okay.
That's the only saving grace, is if there is a deleted scene, at least, of Bruce Wayne massacring teenage boys called Barry Allen.
Andy, you've got cups, you've got like coffee cups, plastic lids, and paper plates behind me right now.
I have a lot of disposable crockery and cutlery.
Do you want to explain to me?
So I went camping. There you go. That's it. No, I went camping in Aberdeen.
Okay.
And with the scouts. So before we were leaving, I had to go to work, and I knew I didn't have time to go home after work. I had to go straight from work to the scout hall to then leave immediately for Aberdeen.
Sure.
And then I realized I didn't have plastic cup, plate, knife, fork, which you need for every camp, especially when they're catered for, because this was a big event camp. So I was like, right, okay, I'll just buy something at the shops before I go to the Scout Hall. So I thought, oh, if I get disposable stuff, I won't need to do any dishes. So then I went to the disposable crockery bit. They only do packs of 50 plates. So I had to buy, I thought, right, fine, well, that'll do. There's no way I'm going to eat more than 50 meals. So I got a pack of 50 plates. Pack of 16 coffee cups with lids, which I used two, as you can see, yeah, the entire weekend.
Right.
And then, because I was in a rush, I picked up two packets of cutlery. I thought, I'll get a 50 pack of knives and a 50 pack of forks. That'll do me. I didn't want to get any spoons, didn't have time for that. So then, fast forward
this
to...
This is turning into a complete shit show. No, like
it's awful. It's absolutely awful. I've got some weird looks. So fast forward to in Aberdeen, first meal was ready, and I was like, okay, got my cup, got my plates, opened a packet of knives, got a knife out, went for my packet of forks, and thought, they look a lot like knives. So I was in a field with 100 plastic knives and no fork, and then we got to the got to the food tent, and what were they serving? Pie with mash and beans. So I'm...
if anything requires a fork, anything, it's got to be that.
It's got to be mash and beans, hasn't it? So I'm just sitting
don't
there...
Don't tell me.
Sitting there scooping beans and mash onto a knife with an LA. While all these other kids are looking at me, judging me. As they all had their sporks and stuff.
Who is this guy?
Who's this adult, supposedly?
I'm just imagining you, just with nothing on your left hand, but just with your right hand, you're like scooping up
essentially
mashed potatoes with a knife.
I had to try and pretend to be responsible as well and tell kids, like, oh, remember to go do all your dishes, as I'm sitting there shoveling potato into my face with a knife. It wasn't my brightest moment. That camp was one really good camp, but I wasn't having a great weekend at all.
Fair enough.
So my tent, I've gone to a big camping rant now. Well done. You can edit all this out. I don't care. So I have, for any eager campers out there, I had a force tent, which is your standard expedition tent.
Sure.
So it has four legs made up of three poles and a crossbar. I've already lost you, haven't I?
So, just trying to figure this out.
So four legs, Ewan, for one for each corner.
Oh, right, okay, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, was that the bit that was confusing you, the amount of legs?
Yeah.
Idiot. You sheltered little boy. I had three legs with three poles.
Okay.
And I had one leg with two poles. So I thought, right, okay, I'm clearly missing a pole. And then I thought, oh, that's fine, I'll just, I don't know, we'll be a scout, fashion a pole out of like a stick or something. Didn't go well. Everything just didn't work. So I thought, right, okay, I need to plan this. So I just kind of took
one. Be prepared,
which I wasn't. I was preparing to put on my tent, but when that went to shit, didn't have anything. So I decided just to take one pole out of one of the other legs. So I had two legs shorter than the others. So I just had like a tent like at a 45 degree angle, essentially.
Sweet.
So where my head was just like draped in canvas, which I thought, oh, this can't be that bad. It's just going to look funny from the outside.
Sure.
So it started to rain overnight. So the saggy bit of canvas which is where my face was under, started to fill up with water. So I caught myself during the first night drowning in the canvas of my tent as it just wrapped around my face. So yeah.
So you might not have made it.
I could have died drowning in a tent. But
and that
I
was
didn't.
Your weekend. Yeah.
That was it. That was my weekend. Really sunny, except
you brought 100 plastic knives and you almost drowned in a tent.
Yep. But a good camp overall. Good camp.
I went to Belfast on Tuesday.
How was that? Any good stories?
No, because Belfast is pretty much the exact same as Glasgow. It was, but with nicer accents.
Yep.
It's just, yeah. I like Belfast. It was nice. Do you know that they have like a brand of potato crisp that they call Tato?
Oh, I think I did know this. I remember laughing at that for a long time when I went to Ireland.
Tato. But no offense to anyone from Northern Ireland who's listening to this. But yeah.
Right, very good. We're not going to get out of
really
our village.
Really hitting those demographics right there, aren't we? Tato is not a great name for a brand, I wouldn't think.
I think I saw a Snickers bar when I was in Dublin. It was just called More Nuts. I think I may be making it up.
I think that's just a campaign thing for Snickers, to be
Damn
honest.
Damn it.
Imagine that, though. They had like a Belfast-only brand of Snickers just called More Nuts. But yeah, so they have Tato. But do you know, they also have a Tato theme park.
They do not. Shut up.
They do. Look up on your computer right now.
Tato. On my computer.
Tato.
You're such an old man.
Look up on your PC.
Look up on your internet device.
See, just go into the World Wide Web and
go
just
on the line.
Go into Goggle and type in and type in Tato theme park.
Oh, Tato. Do you know Tato Park comes up before Tato Crisps in Google? Oh, it has a zoo as well.
Look at that mascot.
It's just a potato, isn't it? A potato in a jacket. Bye now. Whoa.
So it reopens on April the 7th, which is tomorrow, actually. So if you're in Northern Ireland and you want to go to a fantastic theme park, Tato Theme Park might be for you.
Use discount code PATTER... No, don't. Please don't. This or email.
This episode's not sponsored by Tato Theme Park.
Oh, that's the dream. Even Tato Crisps. Should we book some tickets?
How much are tickets, actually, to Tato Park?
To Tato Park? It's, oh, God.
How much is it for, like, have you got a student thing?
Whoa. We could get a Tato Park day entry career ticket for nothing.
What? Career ticket?
The most expensive thing, you get an adult wristband, which is the same as a child's wristband, so I see no difference. Just call it a wristband. Idiots. The day entry for an adult and child are also the same, so again, there's no reason to
separate them.
Separate them, very good.
Just say an entry wristband, yep. How much is it, though?
Oh, sorry, 12 euros if you've got special needs.
Okay.
15 euros for child, 15 euros for adult. 28 if you're getting a wristband, which I'm assuming gets you fuck all. You get to jump the queues that don't exist at Tato Land.
You get a pack of Tato crisps.
Yeah, a pack of Tatos. Wow. I can't wait to not go to
that.
That
looks unbearably shit.
Speaking of Tatos, or tomatoes.
No, let's not go on to
tomatoes. Rotten tomatoes.
We're not going to talk about this now.
Why not?
It's too late. Well, I was going to leave it to the end.
Oh, the end.
Well, that's the thing. Like, are we not wanting to save the spoilerific ones at the end so people don't...
Fine.
Yeah, I know.
I almost had a great segue.
We'll talk about it later.
Fine. Put a big mark here.
You know what you can do? I'll put the speaking of Tato like the farthest away from Tato Park.
Speaking of Tatos.
We're going to be talking about Iron Fist later, so if you've watched it, stick around for that, because Rotten Tomatoes, I've got something to say about it. Shocker. But anyway, so yeah, I was in a taxi, and the guy essentially just told me where to go in Northern Ireland. He said there are three things that one person should not go to when they go to Northern Ireland. That is Tato Park, the Game of Thrones tour, which I was surprised at, but apparently it's tacky as hell, and then also the Titanic.
What do you mean? As in like
there's like a Titanic museum.
Oh, I thought you meant like the actual
regarding
boat.
The famous RMS Titanic.
Oh, good. I thought you meant the Doctor Who Christmas special. fucking idiot.
It's just a museum about the James Cameron film. It's nothing to do with the incident. It's just about behind the scenes of the film.
A big conspiracy of how Jack definitely could have fit on that door or whatever.
That's a whole section.
I was surprised, but I can kind of understand it. It seems really tacky, the sort of idea of a Game of Thrones tour.
I don't understand why you would go to Belfast and not Dublin. Dublin is just...
No, the only reason was because the only two consulates that we could go to...
That's a big word.
Our camp. Very big word. Spell it.
Well, that's not fair.
So the only two places you can go was Belfast and London. And London's crazy expensive, so we decided Belfast.
What I was wanting to talk about was the amazing album that is James Blunt's The Afterlove.
So, yeah... Did you know that James Blunt's funny?
He's not. He really isn't.
How dare you? Did you watch The Last Leg?
I've not seen I don't watch The Last
Leg. He was on it. He was really funny. Apparently he's really funny on Twitter.
Yeah, no, that's what he's like now known for. He's probably known more for Twitter than he is for his music, which really speaks volumes about his music. Like, his whole life is now dedicated to... like trying to roast people who genuinely do not like his music. That's what he's become now.
Fair
enough. Like, if you're now famous for having really shitty music and making fun of it, okay. But you know, why is he now still posting music? Like,
Because he wants to.
But like, he knows it's going to be berated because he's really shit at making music.
Have you heard any of our podcast episodes?
I don't get it. I don't get why James Blunt is like this utter trash lord on Twitter. Actually, you know what you can look up? You can look up best of James Blunt on Twitter and see what comes up. So we've got some James Blunt quotes. Let's say, let her rip, Andy.
James Blunt has a Twitter. What would you even tweet about? Boning your mum.
What else has it got?
Someone says, your music's shit. It's taken you a decade to figure that out.
Well, I mean, that's funny. But, like, try and be proud of your work, man. I don't know. I mean, it's not good. It's not good. I'm saying it now. James Blunt is not good at writing music. But, you know, you should at least have some dignity, at least. Or be like, instead of being like, oh, like, fuck you. Be like, yeah, okay, you know what I'll try and do? I'll try and make better music next time, instead of being like, well, you know it's going to be shit, so let's have a laugh about it. It's like, well, why are you even making music then?
Well, yeah, I guess, but I mean...
It's like, but like, it's not like, there's a guy called, do you know who H. John Benjamin is?
No.
He's have you ever watched the TV show Archer?
Oh, the Robin Hood thing.
No, the spy thing. It's like an animated spy.
Oh, no.
TV show. It's great. He plays the title character, and he's like a really good voice actor. He made an album where it's like, I can't play the piano. And it's literally, like, it's like a full-on jazz band, and he plays the piano, but he cannot play the piano. So he's like, it's like a really cool jazz beat. It's like... And he's just like... That's funny because you know from the get-go he's going to be terrible and he makes fun of it anyway. But with James Blunt, he's still trying to be all serious and like be like, oh yeah, no, I want to have a good music career. And it's like, you've not got a good music career. You've put out consistently shit albums.
Would you like to move on to the next segment of our show with a jingle, obviously. It's
the triangle song.
It's the triangle song from James Blunt. It's questions from our audience, but since, you know, nobody sent any questions, I just came up with all of them. Hope you're ready, because there's a lot.
Mandy Mawson.
There's a lot for you, surprisingly.
I'm going to do this to entertain you, but this is not going in.
Why not?
Okay.
Question number one, Yoon. Why do you suck cock? That was submitted by user Dave.
User Dave.
So go on, Yoon. The wording was specifically for you.
I don't feel comfortable answering that question.
Okay. Well, I'll let you think about that one. Let's scroll down all the questions for you. There's a lot of hate questions for you.
Okay.
Here's one for me. Andrew, how do you get that sexy voice? A lot of moisturizing. That's
a lot of moisture. Just moisture in general.
I just eat a tub of moisturizer. Got another question for you, Ewan.
Okay.
Stop being such a prick. That's not even a question. No, that was Dave just, again.
Dave. Oh.
Dave doesn't like you. I think Dave is sending them all in. Another question. Have you ever seen Basil Brush? That impression was awful. Lol, 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 lol. Go hang yourself. John.
Even Dave. Thanks for the questions, guys.
Keep
them coming in. Send them by email.
By email? Oh, I've got comments about your email.
Or Twitter or Facebook. What is about email?
So, basically, in the past, month since we've done our first episode, I've been getting a lot of feedback from our first episode. One of them was, I won't say who it was, but one of them was like, why do you have an email address? No one's ever going to send you an email. Why do you have an email address? I was like, I don't know.
Well, it's like, why not have an email address? Like,
I told him that I was too busy to answer his questions, so if you just dropped me an email, I'll get to it somewhere.
You know what? Fuck it.
Is it time?
Let's do it. This is going to be talking about the Netflix TV show Iron Fist.
So, Iron Fist, go.
Shit.
Yeah.
really, really awful.
So I thought, okay. I didn't think it was awful.
Oh, no.
I didn't think it was good.
It was terrible, Andy.
I didn't enjoy it. Because, you haven't seen any other than Netflix Marvel series.
Well, here we go. So this is, you're coming in from the perspective of someone who actually, follows the cinematic universe. I'm coming at it from a perspective of a guy who watches TV shows and has a knowledge, I think. Well, I have an opinion on what makes a good TV show.
Mm-hmm.
This, in terms of continuity with the MCU, I think it lacks on so many things in terms of how it connects to the MCU, and it's just this general tone of Iron Fist. But as a TV show, in terms of the basic characteristics of a TV show, your writing, your direction and your pacing and your character development, so poor. I hated the characters, I hated the plot lines, and all around it was just a very disappointing show. I've not seen any of the other Netflix series, but I imagine they'd be a whole lot better than that.
Okay.
I've seen reviews where they were the reason why it was so poor was because they sort of got complacent with how the other series were going, and they were so hyped up for putting out the Defenders, but they were oh shit, we still got Iron Fist.
Oh shit, we forgot this one.
So they just right, let's rush this out, let's get this all done because we need to move on to Defenders. And that, I think, is probably why it feels so incomplete. And yet, the episodes feel so long. I didn't watch the whole thing because I got through.
Where did you get to?
I finished episode 6 and I was like, I'm so done.
Okay, you got halfway.
I am so done because it was just the plot lines were just, they were the plot was just going nowhere. I was at a standstill and these characters were just annoying the hell out of me. So I was like, no, I'm not going to take any more of this because it's just really poor quality TV.
Well, so I kind of, so I've watched everything, I think, that Marvel's made, except for the last season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and I haven't seen any Agent Carter. But right. Fine, I don't think you need to see either of those to understand any of this. I've seen all the Netflix stuff.
Okay.
And when I saw Daredevil 1, I basically binged all that, but because I enjoyed watching it. When Jessica Jones came out, I got through that in a week, because I would watch it when I had time. I was like, oh, I still enjoy this, but not as much as Daredevil. Daredevil season 2 came out, I bossed out in 2 days, because I just wanted to see it. Luke Cage came out, it's kind of like Jessica Jones. I thought, this is okay. I kind of want to watch it just to see how it ends and everything in it, but I was like, okay, that's all right. This came out, I was just like, I want to see every episode just to see if it gets any better. And it didn't. Okay. There's good elements. It is not.
Well, you know,
it is not awful.
Let's talk about the positives. What do you think about the positives of the show?
Well, first of all, it has an audience score of 80% on Rotten Tomatoes. But
there's going to be like videos.
But the tomato meter.
But there's going to be like videos on YouTube where people are like, "Oh, critics are so wrong about it." But I'm like, yeah.
Well, it's a fan thing. Like Marvel's got such a huge fan base.
I bet they've got people. I bet like fans have just gone on to Rotten Tomatoes and just given it high scores because it's Marvel, and they don't take any criticism from people who dislike Marvel.
I'm usually pretty good with, especially TV shows, just like giving it a chance and hoping it'll get better.
Mm.
Like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. season one was apparently horrible, but I was okay with it.
There's been some TV shows I've watched where it's like a slow burn that actually ends up being quite good. I'm trying to think of an example of that.
Luke Cage, which you didn't see, but that was a while. Took a long time, and then it took a long time, and then it got like really good at a certain point, like halfway, and then it just kind of went rapidly downhill.
I'd say some CDs of have you ever watched Dexter?
No, I'm sorry.
It's actually a really good TV show.
Yeah,
I think I think it's quite underrated, to be honest. I do agree that it was like a really long build up to like all the exciting things that happened, but when those things actually happened, it was really gripping. Whereas something like this, it was such a slow burn that I stopped halfway through, and it was, you know, did it even have a?
There was not a single episode that I thought that when it finished, I thought, oh, I can't wait to see the next one, see what happens next.
I felt forced watching it.
Yeah, I felt like I just had to watch it just to know what happens. I like the casting, which I know is a shocker, apparently, according to everyone, especially Danny Rand. Like,
oh, well,
so Finn
Jones.
Yeah.
Is Iron Fist in the comics, is he of Asian descent?
So here's the thing. I don't think he is. I think he's just a white man. And like, so the only thing I really know about, I don't know that much about Iron Fist, but he's in a video game that I played called Marvel Ultimate Alliance.
Yeah, I played that.
And he's in that, but I think he's just a white Caucasian. I don't think he's an Asian.
A white Caucasian. A white like Caucasian. So, yeah, like double white. To,
yeah.
Double white.
He is neon white. He is so white, and he's got glasses.
He glows.
But yeah, no, I don't think he's Asian in that. It's been a while since I played that game.
If it turns out the character is Asian in most iterations, then I can kind of maybe understand maybe putting an Asian actor in the role, but...
Well, I mean, that's a picture. That doesn't look particularly
No,
Asian.
He looks pretty
white. He looks
white.
Pretty chalky.
I think people just build up a controversy about these all this thing. Like, do you know the Ghost in the Shell thing?
Oh, yeah.
But, if the performance ends up being good and it's a good movie, then what exactly are you complaining about? You're just complaining about... I don't know, you're just complaining about nothing, I think.
Well...
Because, like, someone like Scarlett Johansson, who's a good actress, like, I don't particularly mind if it's her playing the role, as long as she does a good job of it. Because at the end of the day, a movie's a movie. It's like, whatever interpretation you want. So did you like Finn Jones' performance in Iron Fist? Because I didn't.
Yes and no. Like, I didn't mind his Iron Fist moments. Hated his Danny Rand moments. Like, because he's not a stupid person. Like, he's
when he comes back to New York, he's acting like he's, like, never been there. He lived in New York till he was 10.
Yeah, so he was away for 15 years, and, yeah, he was 10.
He was 10. But does he not... I don't understand why he realize, like, he doesn't realize that if he talks about this stuff being in Kunlun, like, which is an interdimensional dojo training facility, like, does he... I think you would... If you're someone like Danny Rand, who's like a wise person, you'd probably realize, oh, well, in this world, they don't really, like, that kind of stuff might be taken with a hint of skepticism.
Yeah.
He's sort of acts as if, like, you don't know about it.
Yeah.
You don't know these things. Although, to be fair, there is like a sort of, I'm kind of like, well, these superheroes are running about all over the place. Surely you can kind of take a leap of imagination to maybe think there's like something interdimensional going on.
Yeah. I mean...
Because there's Avengers references all over the joint, and it's like, well, if aliens are real, then why not interdimensional training facilities? But anyway, like, we're getting in spirals over that.
I don't like how it took so many episodes for people to be like, this is Danny Rand.
Oh, that took the longest time.
It took so long.
It should have been one episode.
The parts and it was after, three. The first few episodes are the worst episodes. I think it gets better after that, just not by much. But like,
you go from like a 0.5 to maybe like a 1 or 2.
And even it was like the stupidest reason. I think you've seen up to the bit where they work out it is Danny.
When it's a they fucking send pot with a fingerprint on it.
Oh, well, that as well. But I was talking about when he sends, she sends the M&M packets.
Oh!
And I was just like...
That was the first time where I was like, surely this isn't... Like, this isn't a thing. This isn't a thing in the comics.
No, I don't think it is.
It's obviously branding for M&Ms, but it's like the stupidest... It was the stupidest shit ever. I was like, This is like... B-movie level writing we've got.
It was kind of just like they wrote the first 4 episodes and thought, oh, it's a compelling plot. He's trying to like convince them, and then they're like, oh, but how are you going to actually, you know, convince them that he is Danny Rand? And then they just went, wait, what?
We still got that to do.
Oh, shit. I thought they were just
Someone was eating M&Ms at the time and they were like, I've got
Give
it.
Me that. Give me that bag. Give me that bag right now. I feel I'm going to try and be the side trying to defend this. Defenders? Hey. Yeah. Trying to defend this. So, I think it must be really hard to write a TV show with these types of heroes, like for Luke Cage. Mm-hmm. So, do you know what Luke Cage is? So, basically...
So, he's like... It's like unbreakable skin, isn't it?
So, he's basically really strong and you can't break his skin. Which makes writing a story to give him problems is hard. Because, like, the first few episodes are just, like, the main boss guy just sends... guys with guns, and then every scene is just they run up to him, shoot him, realize they don't work, and then he beats the shit out of him, and then he moves on. So writing ways to make him have to actually think about a problem as opposed to just running in and knowing I'm fine is an issue. It's kind of the same here with Iron Fist, because at like every 2 seconds they remind you he's the perfect weapon, he will beat up anyone who has to fight him. So when like in every scene where you get some ninja or whatever go out to me and he's like, this isn't a problem. I'll beat you in 2 seconds. So then you need to start adding things to try and get in his way. So in this, they've gone for the social route. Like, they need to add things like his friends turning against him, his company turning against
him. It's the whole business side as well. The business
There's
stuff.
A lot of business stuff.
Oh my God, it's unbeatable.
It's like episode 1 of Star Wars. All the politics.
Oh
talks.
Yeah, exactly. All the like trade talks. And I'm like, this is a fucking Marvel TV show. This is meant to be like superhero. And we're listening about sort of trades and drug prices. They obviously did a Martin Shkreli kind of reference with the whole, the first thing he does when he comes in to... his 51% shareholder bullshit was like talking about how they need to sell drugs at cost. And I'm like, where's Iron Fist? So, where is this? This is awful.
I kind of liked elements of it. Like, I liked the scene of we need to sell us at cost, because I kind of got the idea of he's still a nice person.
No, but he's always been this altruistic person. Like, he's always helping people. Like, isn't that the role of the Iron Fist is to like defeat the hand? It's to fight for good. So obviously he's going to be this all good person. We've already established this.
There's more Danny Rand than there is Iron Fist, which I don't like. Because like in Daredevil, a lot of the conflict in Daredevil with his friends is he's spending too much time, you're doing air quotes just now, as Daredevil, so he's not doing his real job as Matt Murdock. So like that's the problem in terms of the TV show. They're like, oh, you're never around. Oh, where are you all night? And he's like, oh, I'm busy. But like in this, it feels like the opposite, kind of. They're like, oh, you need to go fight those people. And he's like, oh, no, I've got a board meeting. You're like, right, well, that's not what we want as an audience. But, I mean...
But, like, it comes back to the whole, like, Danny's an idiot, which he clearly isn't. But they treat him like he's an idiot, so he does all these things and, like, the meetings and stuff like that. But does he not... Like, common sense would dictate he would probably know a bit about business and how business works. And even though he's altruistic, he still understands that there's a gray area when it comes to business.
I guess there's a very, very, very subtle metaphor imagery thing where he's playing Monopoly and he's having fun playing a business game, and he thinks, oh, it's all just a game. And then War's like, nah, this isn't the game. And he flips over the board. So it's kind of like forecasting into like Dan Rand's just like, oh, we could just sell us at cost. We could just help people. We could just do this.
Yeah.
And then
so he still
just like, oh, you can't just do that. And he just flips the table. He's like, nah, we're not doing that.
To be fair.
So that's like very subtle imagery.
You made a better job that explaining that imagery than Marvel
did
in their
writing. It took me a long time because like...
But it's like, it's so poorly constructed. It's like, you don't realize that's the imagery.
Well, I came up with that myself. So I feel like I came up with that before Marvel came up with that. Sure. But yeah, go on, Ward.
Oh,
I want to hear your thoughts, because I quite like the Beecham characters.
He is, like, he's just unnecessarily douchey.
Okay.
But, like, he's so... I don't...
Oh, actually, yeah. Very early Ward, I don't like. Like, for... I don't get his reasons.
I don't know how he... What he's like after episode 6. But from those 6 episodes, he's just a fucking... Like, he's just unnecessarily douchey.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I don't get his motivations as a character.
That's the thing. Like, I don't know what he's trying to drive towards. I don't know whether he wants respect from his father, because he's constantly going... He's disobeying his father at times, and, like, he's just, like, not interested in what his father has to say. I don't think it's after his father, but we don't know that. I don't know whether he's interested in the business, because sometimes he just does things where I'm just like, well, you're obviously doing this just to get back at Danny and not thinking about the best things for your business. The thing about Ward is I don't know his motivations, and if there are motivations later on in the series, they're not clearly defined in the beginning, which should be the case. You should have, for a character, when you're starting a TV show, I think when you have characters, you need to have at least some idea of what their motivation is going to be, and then you drive that along through the series. But if you start it, say, mid-series, then it's just like, what's the point? Like, what were those 6 episodes previously for? Mm. Why is that character there for those 6 episodes now?
Yeah. I guess in terms of writing a script, he is just the roadblock. Because if that character didn't exist, Danny Rand would come back and be like, oh, I'm Danny Rand, you get a company. But you need to create resistance for him to not just come in and have a cushy little life when he comes back immediately. There has to be something he has to do. So he has to convince this character.
It's really stupid as well, because he just immediately rejects the idea that it could be Danny at all. I understand, like, yeah, okay, it's incredibly unlikely. But it's like, he doesn't even entertain the notion. And I just think that makes for a very boring character.
I feel like the very first episode, I kind of accepted that. Like, if someone came up to me 15 years after I saw them,
and I knew
they were dead, I was convinced they were dead, I'd be like, yeah, shut up, you're lying. Mm. But, like, eventually I feel like he would have started to come around. Like, because Joy did. Joy wanted to believe it was him.
But, like...
And then came around. He was just like that.
I think Joy's transition was a lot more interesting because, like, she initially had doubts, and then she, like, obviously when they drugged him and put him into the hospital, she obviously felt bad about that. And I'm like, oh, well, that's, you know,
that's good. Well done. Development.
I wouldn't say good. Let's because I think she's not that great an actress.
I thought she was good.
She was okay at parts, but I think most of the time she was fairly one dimensional.
She was hot. Sorry.
Well, okay. She was very attractive. Yes. Or as you say, hot.
Hot. With a capital H. I did feel that those two, the Brilliant Sisters, I felt a very sibling connection between the actors. So I thought that was good. Like, they felt like they were Brilliant Sisters.
It was kind of a creepy vibe sometimes. There was a couple of times where I was like, very, very strange.
I genuinely couldn't tell if that's what it was leading up to.
There was a couple of points where I was like, is there going to be like an incestuous plot line?
I was like, oh, this is getting very Game of Thrones very quickly.
Yeah, okay, so I didn't like the character of Ward. You know who I did like?
The father?
No. Didn't like the father. Okay. We'll get on to the father in a second. I like
Japanese girl?
Colleen Wing, yeah. I thought she was quite interesting. It doesn't seem initially like she's going to be an adept fighter. It's only when she starts going to these, like, illegal fights I'm actually starting to get interested. Scenes. Because I'm like, well, actually, no, she is a good fighter, but she's obviously... struggling with this idea between fighting for money and honor, and there's a conflict there, and that's good. But before that, I think, like, in the first few episodes, it's just kind of like she's just kind of there as a crutch to Iron Fist. It's like she's there to help him get him out of the asylum and all that, and she's just a message girl. Whereas when she actually starts to do her thing, I think she's quite a strong character. She's probably the best character in the series.
I think in the episodes that you've probably not seen, her character development is the best out of all of them. Mm-hmm. Because, spoiler alert...
No, it's fine. Spoilers are plenty for me.
She's working for the Hand.
Right.
But she thinks that the Hand are good people. She thinks that the Bad Hand are just like an offset version led by Madame Gao. So she's like... She's leading, like, the bad section of the Hand. And my sensei is the leader of the good section of the Hand. So then eventually they capture Gao. And then Daredevil, Iron Fist is like, Wish it was Daredevil. It's like, we've got you. Hands over. Stop being, you know, a dick. That's what he says. Stop being a dick.
So I wouldn't put it against it because of the writing.
Character, yeah. We have caught you, Madame Gao. And then, yeah, so then Madame Gao's like, oh, you idiot. Who do you think has you captured? And he's like, what are you talking about? He's like, these guys are hand, idiot. And then Sensei's like, yo, Danny, what are you doing here? You shouldn't have seen all this. So eventually, spoiler alert, Sensei's actually like the evil leader of the hand. Oh. But he generally doesn't like Gao, so I don't think that's explained yet. I assume that'll come up in either Defenders or the next Iron Fist.
So Colleen Wing is part of the hand.
Yes, okay. But then, again, spoiler alert, she's like, oh yeah, no, the hand are definitely fucking evil. So then she goes and helps Danny.
Lol, whoops, made the wrong choice there.
Oh no, these guys are fucking crazy. But there's not even that much spoilers. Because, oh, by the way, did you know that the father, the Beecham father, he turns out to be the main bad guy as well? Whoa.
Oh, well.
Did you see that one coming?
What was going to happen with him, because he was there for I thought he was the main villain in the first episode, then it turns out he wasn't in the second episode, and then by the third episode or fourth episode where he finally meets Danny again, I'm like, is he going to be the villain now, or is he just like this sort of anti-hero kind of guy, or is he just a dick? I don't know.
He wants to be the main bad guy, but Gao essentially is better than him.
Well, she owns him.
Yeah, she owns him. And then when they capture Gao, the new Sensei guy goes up to him and he's like, don't worry, Harold. Gao's in custody. Oh, but by the way, we work for me now. And I'm like twice as much a badass. And Harold's like, oh, okay, shit. So then eventually they're like, Danny kills, again with the air quotes, kills the Sensei.
Mm-hmm.
And Harold thinks that he's dead. But he's not, because you don't see his body. And if you don't see his body, he's not dead. So they basically, like, they stab him, and then they look away, they look back, and the body's gone. So they're like, okay, well, he's clearly not dead. So he's in his office, and then eventually the climax is just Danny Rand running into the Rand offices and iron fisting Harold.
Oh, yeah.
But you know how he's immortal?
What?
Harold.
Harold?
Yeah.
So he's immortal, like, he doesn't...
Oh, yeah, you wouldn't have seen that yet, so... There's a bit where Ward...
I know he gets resurrected by the hand, but yeah. I didn't know whether that made him immortal.
That happens... Kind of happens again. And so basically, Ward...
In episode 7. Ward... the episode I should have gone on to.
Ward.
Everything happens in the next episode.
Might be in episode 7. So Ward basically snaps, and he doesn't have any more of his pills he's been taking. So he's just like, fuck it, I'm just going to kill him. So he just like stabs Harold, because Harold's like pushing him.
Right.
And then he dumps his body in the lake, and then... The episode after that, he comes out like, he's like, oh, okay, shit. And he starts off a bit, like, confused, like a zombie in a little bit. And I was thinking, like, oh, this is going to be interesting. But then eventually, like, next scene, he's, like, got his brain back. And he's like, oh, okay, I remember exactly what happened to Ward. He tried to kill me. You're fucked now. And then I was like, oh, well, that was going to be a good character. You're going to have a new character there. Right. But now you've just got the same boring... Not boring. I think his form is actually pretty good. Mm-hmm. But then the final scene is very disappointing. Because he's just, like, your standard... man with a gun. Ward shoots Harold.
Mm.
And then Harold followed the building. So Ward killed him twice. And then they cremate him. But I don't even know if that will kill him. So I'm assuming that will kill him.
Well, like someone like Deadpool or Wolverine, they can regenerate. They can come back from like an atom,
mm-hmm.
essentially.
Like in the Wolverine where he got Adam Strait.
Yeah. So I don't know whether, because he's immortal, he'll come back anyway, even if he is cremated or, like, decimated.
There's a part where the Sensei, like, has him on his knees and he's about to cut his head off. And then Danny Rand comes out, he's like, oh, don't do that. And then they're like, oh, for future reference, that's how you kill him, by the way. So they imply, like, you need to cut off his head. So I don't know why they didn't do that. If they were going to kill him, just, like, cut his head off.
Oh,
they say cremate him anyway. So there's a chance that he might come back, but I don't know if that's true or not.
It sounds like a very boring finale, to be honest.
It's not good. It's, yeah.
Do you want to talk a bit about the Iron Fist powers, or lack thereof, in most of the thing?
Yeah.
The inconsistency in his powers is hilarious.
So, I'm going to try and defend again. Really trying hard.
But I'm coming off the first 6 episodes. If it ends up... he now uses his powers a lot more consistently after episode 6. I'm going to be like, well, why the fuck did that not happen in the first 6?
So my understanding is it takes like years and years and years and years and years to become a fully professional Iron Fist, and he's only done the 15. So I don't think that's enough time to become a professional Iron Fist, but he saw his chance to go back home and he's like,
I'm going to take it.
Yeah, I'm going.
Okay.
Because he's defeated the evil dragon or whatever in Kunlun.
He mentioned like he needs to build up his chi in order to have the Iron Fist.
Which makes sense.
It makes sense. But then there's another. But then there's a scene where he's like, a guy comes at the you remember the scene where Joy gets taken by the cleavers, I think they're called? The guys with cleavers.
Yeah.
And like there's a bit where he's like in the elevator and the door's about to close and a guy comes in and tries to hit with a hatchet. And he's just like Iron Fist.
Yep.
Shatter. And I'm like, where was this chi building? What?
You didn't build chi. There's a bit later on where he gets taught stuff by the sensei, like how to build chi quicker.
Hmm.
So he does like some whole routine where he like builds his chi.
When he's in the asylum, I suppose he was on drugs, but he still had to build up his chi. But then like there's a bit where he goes to like medical records to get like his x-ray and stuff like that. And he's building up his Iron Fist there. And I'm like, well, two episodes ago, I literally just went, ching.
That one scene where they're in the lift, I don't get that one. But I think they do drop a line somewhere, like the more punishment he takes. The scene in the asylum where he's getting the asylum scene where they're like beating the shit out of him in that room. And then he's like, right, okay, bit more damage. Okay, I'm ready to go. Also, this perfect weapon dude, there's a few fights where he's one-on-one with some other person and he's not doing so well, which makes me ask,
or it's like really shitty fight scene.
Yeah.
It's like,
the fight
scenes
are awful.
Some of the fight scenes are absolutely terrible. Like, it's just like little slap noises. Like,
yeah.
And like, it's like the way it's edited, it's like, it quickly cuts before you see the connection and it's like, well, it looks so staged and awful.
See, the first episode, actually, the first few scenes, I thought, oh, Iron Fist is going to be the best TV show by far. Because when he's in the Rand office and he's just like kind of swatting the security guards away like flies, I was like, okay, he is the best weapon.
That was okay.
He's been training for 15 years for this moment. Perfect. But then
it was like, the way he moved as well, it was like a flowing movement. Exactly. I feel like he wasn't even paying attention. He was just like, fuck you. But then there's like bits where it's like, he's genuinely trying hard to defeat one guy who's like not even like
he's not even trained. Yeah,
yeah. He's like a bodyguard or something like that. But it's just like, oh, it's so dumb.
Like the scene where he's in the moving truck.
Yes. Oh,
he's fighting
yeah.
that one guy with a knife.
To be fair, he was a member of the Hand, but I don't even think. He wasn't even like a fully fledged member of the Hand. I think it was just like a henchman.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, that took way too long.
Yeah. And you were going through, like, trained, highly paid security guards, like, butter.
But the thing with the Iron Fist as well, when that thing happened with, like, the door, I'm like, well, wouldn't you use your Iron Fist just a whole lot more in these fights?
Mm.
Like, see, when you see the guy in the truck, would you not, like, maybe try and take a few hits and then put in the Iron Fist and just hit him, kill him, or destroy him in, like, one hit, rather than just trying to fight him with your regular fighting skill?
I don't know if he feels like using the Iron Fist on someone would kill someone. I don't think he likes killing people.
No, but
and I also feel that if you did use the Iron Fist, it would take a lot of energy, so he probably wants to save it for like when he needs it.
Yeah, that's fair.
So like when he tries to get out of the truck and he's like, oh, I'm not getting this door down, better use the Iron Fist.
better build my chi.
God. The fight scenes got progressively worse throughout the thing. I couldn't tell if there was something hidden there, but there was a few fights where I thought Daredevil would have won this fight by now. Or look,
this guy is trained by interdimensional monks
for 15 years, and Daredevil was a blind child when he was getting trained by some blind man.
Yeah.
So I was like, there's no, like, I'm convinced there will be a fight scene in Defenders between Daredevil and Iron Fist, and Iron Fist should win hands down, but I'm convinced Daredevil should win. It'll be a draw or something. But it, I don't know. I just feel like
this is
the perfect weapon just isn't as good a fighter as it should be.
It's such an underdeveloped series, I think. I think they had the source material, and they did follow some of it, but I think they just got the whole Iron Fist idea just completely wrong. You still like Finn Jones as Iron Fist, right?
I wouldn't recast him.
Okay.
which I don't think was ever.
Well, they're never going to recast because they've now set the stone for the Defenders, and if they change anything, then it's going to be a whole lot of explaining to do.
Didn't change them from changing the Hulk.
That's when they were starting. The whole problem with the cinematic universe is that you've kind of only got one shot to make it work, and if it doesn't work, then you're kind of screwed further on down the line because you'll have that to look back to. And people have to follow it if they want to follow the whole universe. You know, so.
But yeah.
I don't know. I'll probably watch the Defenders. So, I'll go back and watch the rest of the series, I think.
This was going to be one of my points. So all the Netflix series so far have been 13 episodes.
Mm.
Defenders is apparently going to be 8.
Oh, right.
I feel they should have done it the opposite way. Because I feel in every Netflix one, okay, there's been too many episodes, especially this.
The pacing in this was very poor.
Yeah.
Very poor. Because I don't think they had much material for 13 episodes, so they had to stretch out a lot of what they had to do. Mm-hmm. And that's probably where the pacing issues was. Because I think originally they probably planned for it to be 8 episodes. And it's like, well, actually, no, we're going to do 13.
Which is
why I'm going to feel like the Defenders is going to be really underdeveloped as well.
Well, because I feel 8 episodes isn't enough to do 4 characters to all meet up and then have a problem and then fix it. Unless they make the episodes longer.
Well, yeah, because you're going to have stuff like, you need to deal with stuff like dynamics and how the characters work together. Because I imagine there's probably going to be some conflict between the characters like there was in the Avengers.
Yes.
I think for next episode, have you seen Logan yet?
No. Awful. Have you?
No. No. I'm going to though, because I think next...
Should we just do a review without seeing it? That'll be good.
It was really good. I loved everything about it.
It was awful. It didn't make sense at all. Patrick Stewart has his hair back.
I'll tell you what. Next time we record, we will have watched Logan and we can do...
In about 2 months.
We advertise in our social media. We are a regular podcast.
Regular, yep.
3 weeks later after the first
episode. We'll do about 4 a year, yeah.
Why don't we try record next week? And by next week, we would have watched the film Logan, and we can maybe talk a bit more about that, and what we liked, what we didn't like, and so on and so forth. Yeah?
Yes.
Sound good?
My name's Andy.
My name's June, and you can find us on various social media. You can look us up on Facebook with at Patter Show. Twitter is at Patter Podcast.
Ooh.
And no, it's lovely.
Look at you.
Our email is patterpodcasts@gmail.com.
We're going to get a flood of emails now from Nigerian princes pretending to be our cousins. The first 100 likes gets plastic knives. I've got a lot to give away.
So yeah, join us in hopefully next week where we talk about Logan. Yeah, so thanks for listening, guys.
But how are we going to do the...
Just grabbing your junk there.
Oh, mate, these jeans, I don't understand what it is, but all day, you know, this has been going up and up and up. And I was just like, okay, right, come on.
Plenty of that, Andy.